Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. This is a very unique and special time. We are in Laguna Niguel right now with what we usually don't have. We have people that are listening to us live, some of the great friends of New Life, new friends, old friends. I mean, some are really old. And then also some of our strongest supporters of New Life are here with us in Laguna Niguel. We have, as I've said before, the wisest woman on radio, Dr. Jill Hubbard. And we have a special guest, one of my favorite people in the universe, and I think there is just one universe, and that's Sheila Walt. Sheila, welcome.
Thanks. Yay. I love being on this program.
Very wise, too.
Sheila just gave a talk to all of us about what women need to know about men, right?
Not technically, no.
Not technically.
I think that was the brief, but I just decided to kind of sidestep it.
No, but it's so good what you said. And I think all of us have these preconceived notions about what the other gender, and I'm not talking about the 16 new ones that have been developed over the past year, but I'm talking about just male and female gender, what the other person needs to know. And really, you get down to it, and that's what this program is all about. But rather than, you know, knowing about the other person, you got to know about yourself first. Because if you're not bringing your whole adult self to the relationship, it's not going to go very well. And one of the things I'm going to talk about later is about a woman's need to nurture the little boy in every man, because he's in there, but call out the man. And what happens is often, we know, the man gets shut down, and then he starts to act like the bad little boy. And so now we have a little boy and an angry mom dynamic. Doesn't usually work very well. So those are the things I'm going to be talking about later. But anyway, my new book, Little Boys Playing House, will be out soon, I'm sure. And whatever, I'll figure it out. I don't have any call sheets with me, but I do know this. On December the 5th, Sheila is going to be one of the people in our Brains, Boundaries, Battles, and the Bible, our intensive on December the 5th. And that's going to have John Townsend, Henry Cloud, myself, Sheila Walsh, and Dr. Daniel Amen. And that is going to be the ultimate intensive. I don't think we'll ever get to do this again. When you sign on, you're going to be put in a group with your own therapist. It's all online. It's going to be one amazing experience. And I hope that if you haven't looked at it, you'll go to newlife.com, find out about it, or you could sign up by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Sheila, you and I have been, we've been doing stuff together for what? I guess 30 years or so, something like that?
Yeah,
I think. Long time. What would you say was the most fun thing we ever did together? You, Barry, me.
Do you remember taking us out on a cruise ship?
Yes, I do.
You took all of us, all the Women of Faith speakers, and you took us out on a cruise ship, and I think they almost closed the harbor down because we were too loud.
Yeah, that is true. I remember that. But that's when we were a for-profit venture capital organization, and we actually had money. So, but we don't do stuff like that anymore.
Yeah, now, I noticed our Christmas parties changed.
Yeah, now we might buy a little plastic boat for you to do in the bathtub, but that's about it. 1-800-229-3000. We've got calls right here. You can join us today. We love getting to talk with you. And when we come back, we're going to go to Rose from Nashville. We'll do that. If you need help, the number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's also the number if you want to help us. Somebody's there. They woke up this morning and said, I want to help some people. I want to change some lives. That's what they do at our call center there in Dallas. And that's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll take a break and come right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Sheila Walsh. We are broadcasting from Laguna Niguel, really having a great time here with some of our great supporters and friends. And right now, I want to talk with Rose. She listens on or as a podcast when she does. And let's talk with her from Nashville. Hi, Rose. How are you today?
Hi, I'm just fine. Thank you so much for taking my call. And thank you so much for your ministry. I've been listening to you guys for eons. We've subtitled you and our family the funny guys. I guess it's funny guys and girls now. So,
who's your favorite? No, I'm kidding. No, we'll talk about it.
Just say Steve.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, I probably feel most connected with Jill because I've been listening to her for a really long time. And Mylan, of course.
Yes, they're very connecting people because they don't have a brain that disconnects instantly with other folks. So anyway, well, how can we help you today, Rose? What's going on in your life there in Nashville?
Okay, so I never thought I would call y'all, but I really need to get some advice on what to do in this situation.
Okay.
So briefly, my husband is a pastor, and we have prior to COVID, we have a ministry to college students in our home. About 70 or 80 students come every weekend and just kind of hang out. It's just kind of a mentoring thing, kind of where we just try to refuel them with love and brownies. And it's just basically a community has developed from that.
Okay.
And then COVID hit. We spent the summer refitting our house. We built a deck. We did all kind of stuff to make sure that students could come back. The students have been really involved with that, and we've met for about two times when school resumed. When we're trying to keep a good relationship with the university, but what we're trying to figure out, our question is there a way that we can keep the relationship that we have with the students and a good relationship with the Christian university who's pressuring us to suspend our ministry because of COVID, even though we've done all these hoops to try to make our home safe.
Okay.
And we're just really broken over this because we've spent so much energy investing in these students.
Yeah. Now, do you think that this university has like a hidden agenda? They don't like what you're doing, or you think it's truly they're being conscientious and wanting to keep people safe?
Last year we had a very good relationship with them.
Uh-huh.
There is a new person in the spiritual care department, new director of spiritual care, and I think just his leadership style, and particularly with COVID, he's just like an exacting type of leader, and he doesn't. It's difficult for him to really listen to people's hearts.
And so obviously that's why he would be the spiritual leader there. He's got a heart and doesn't listen to people. And makes a lot of sense.
Style.
Doesn't it? What's that? His
so
style.
We've actually written a letter to the president, and I know that. And we've had interactions with him. He's a very kindly type of older individual, very well experienced in Christian education, and he wrote us back a letter outlining even the pressure that they're under with the health department, more things that we should do, not really saying you have to shut down, but we're really kind of urging you to, and we'll welcome you back when this is over, whenever that is.
Okay, so Sheila's our guest, special guest, and this is almost an impossible situation, so I'm going to just have her start right on. What do you think here, Sheila? I mean,
Can I just say something really quick while
In Jesus' name.
Well, first of all, I, Rose, just want to applaud you because I just sent my son away to college, and you are a dream come true for any college parent that you have this ministry, that you're so dedicated to it. And so thank you so much for doing it. And I think that, these are trying times, but I think there is a way to work together, and you have a new person in there that you're going to have to learn who he is. Your old style of connecting isn't necessarily going to work. And I think there needs to be a lot of prayer and perhaps meeting with him to win him over. And maybe, you know, for a while you're going to do smaller groups multiple times a week instead of a large group once a week.
There you go. Great idea.
But finding ways, you know, and pockets, because these kids need it. And I tell you, the Zoom Bible studies are not the same. They need that
face-to-face.
It's hard to draw the kids in. So they really need that connection. So, you know, lunch meetings.
The sad part is it's the parent that complained.
Yeah, well, you know, there's always one.
Yeah, okay. So,
unfortunately.
Okay, Sheila, do you have a thought here about this?
No, I think what you said, Jill, is absolutely right. When you have a new person, they maybe feel some need to exert their authority over what you're doing. But I think, you know, your idea of suggesting, of going to the person saying, hey, you know what, we want to hear you.
I lost you all.
Oh,
you can hear it when it broadcasts.
Hello?
Yeah, hang in there. Yeah, okay, so go ahead, Sheila.
Well, I mean, I would meet with the person and say, you know what, we really hear you. We take it seriously. And here's our suggestion. Here's what we're going to do. Perhaps just making that move towards that person would help them see you're not trying to be in competition.
Right.
You want to work alongside them.
Yeah, being a person to that person is really important, rather than to be a conceptual resistant Christian.
Right, but you said something important, Sheila, which is you want them, the new person, to think that you're on their team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right, that you're supporting what they do, that you're not against them.
Yeah, because a lot of times people that are head of spiritual things at a college but aren't spiritual, they need people on their team to help them become spiritual people. All right, I have people in my life that helped me become spiritual. And I call on the Lord all the time. Oh, Lord, help me here. All right, let's go to Claudia. Los Angeles, California is where she's calling from. And she watches us on the NRB television network. Hello, Claudia, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
You're welcome. How can we help today?
Well, my question is, how do you manage in a marriage relationship long-term with a spouse who refuses to acknowledge that they have issues with finances and managing finances according to biblical
principles?
Exactly.
Well, what are the biblical principles? What are the biblical principles that he's violating here in this marriage?
Well, first of all, it would be the giving.
Okay.
As outlined.
He doesn't
and
give.
Also, yes, but it is not according to Scripture. It's just random.
Okay.
Kind of. It's not tithing to a specific church or
ministry, like New Life.
Ministry,
like that.
Right.
And I'm sure
right.
If he was giving, you'd want him to certainly support it. Okay, so the second thing, what's another principle that he's not really abiding by?
Well, as far as taking care of financial responsibilities, once a commitment is made, then abdicating those responsibilities, i.e. paying income taxes.
Mm-hmm.
An example of us filing together, him not taking out the accurate amount of taxes or even taxes.
Okay.
Either in state or federal.
All right. So, Claudia, what has your reaction been to this? What have you done when you've noticed this or it's bothered you?
Well, for the last 10 years, we have filed jointly, and I've just kind of encouraged him, and so has the tax accountant, to take out our taxes and take care of his responsibilities. As far as the giving, I've mentioned that I should go as designated in the Bible, but outside of that, nothing, no counseling or anything of that nature.
So I'm going to take a little different direction here, and then I'm going to turn it over to Sheila and Jill. But tell me about the intimacy in your life with him. How's that going?
Non-existent.
Non-existent. I do mean that, yeah.
You mean physically intimate?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that hasn't happened for about 10 years now.
Okay. Why? What happened?
Well, there had been, and this is a long-term relationship, and it's 40 years plus, but there's always been some issue with the PE, and there have been some attempts at going to different doctors, and they said there's nothing other than an issue with blood flow, and so it's kind of been swept under the rug.
All right, so you're cutting out, and so I'm just, you just listen, and we've got some comments here, and I'll come back to the issue I ask you about. Okay, so when, what do you guys think? I mean, you've got a man and a woman, and the man's irresponsible, and the woman sees it, knows how to do it right. What do you think? What would be her best strategy to turn the financial practices in the marriage around? What do you think?
Well, I definitely think that, Claudia, that you guys need some help. And it's always fascinating to me, Steve, how money issues kind of play out what else is happening in the marriage.
That
they're very
so true.
Diagnostic mm-hmm. of other things in the marriage. In terms of the physical problems, that needs to be addressed. But I think you guys have to be on the same page first. And Claudia, you know, the more a partner goes one direction, our tendency is to go the opposite direction because we're always trying to balance things out. And that usually ends up making us farther and farther apart. And if, you know, we women, we're so security minded, I bet it's hard for you to feel safe with him. Because he's irresponsible financially. So there's probably a desire to not give yourself to him, and then he's avoiding because of his physical problems. Sometimes I think, you know, when you have people that are opposite in how they deal with life, instead of, you know, kind of viewing yourself as having the right posture and them as having the wrong, it's helpful to take the judgment out of it and to see it as two different styles. I imagine your husband is someone who flies more by the seat of his pants. And you know, maybe you've had to become this way, is someone who maybe plans ahead a little bit more and likes to kind of color within the lines. And this is two different styles. And so even working on, I mean, even though the issues are much deeper, I think doing some things to, again, take the judgment out of it. Like I love Dave Ramsey's program for couples, where you go and you learn about different styles and you learn that each of you are important, and then you come together in the middle and you have a plan. Something like that helps you guys to see each other, appreciate each other's strengths and weaknesses. And then if somebody has a weakness, you know, you don't make them in charge in the area that is their weakness. You give them something else to do that is their strength so that they can start to feel better about themselves.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, I'll hear what Sheila's thinking about this. She just talked about this a little bit in a talk she gave here. But my suspicion is that, like in many relationships here, money isn't the problem. It's the symptom of the problem. And you guys aren't together on so many things. So we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about the difference between being able to fulfill every desire physically, sexually, versus having a sexually intimate and fulfilling relationship, even when certain things don't work very well anymore. We'll talk about that and other things. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Every Man's Battle is October the 10th, and we would love for you to be part of that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Special guest Sheila Walsh, along with Dr. Jill Hubbard here. And we're talking with Claudia. I hope her phone is working now. But Sheila, what are your thoughts here about a situation where the wife is not happy about finances here?
Yeah, it's interesting. Just listening to you, Claudia, and listen to your heart. I hear your heart and how you want to honor God. And my husband and I have been through financial issues, and I realized the thing that I was doing initially that I thought was helping was not helping at all. I was basically shaming him. You know, I was concerned at one point that we weren't tithing and then giving above our tithe. And rather than trying to help my husband understand the joy that comes from that and how God has promised to bless from that, mine was more just kind of a judgmental. And all that basically does, I think, is push some further into the darkness. That one of the ways that God has helped us is just sitting down together and talking and saying, even just asking my husband, you know, is it like, are you worried we won't have enough to pay the bills? Is a concern? Just trying to hear his heart. Mm-hmm. And then sharing the tremendous promises in Scripture for yeah. those who do honor the Lord in that right. way.
Yeah, I think, like in this case, you've got this lava flowing out of the volcano, and you could try to cool down the lava, but you got to get to the source of the heat. And to me, if you made the problem the relationship versus money, and you got on the same page on this, and you got on the same page in intimacy, taking a different direction than you've been looking at. I mean, this guy cannot perform sexually, she's saying, and now he can't perform financially. And one of the big questions men have is, am I a competent man? Can I live beyond my limitations? And I bet the guy feels absolutely horrible, and he's trying to control the one thing that maybe he still is able to control, and that is money. So if you were to get some help with the relationship and you try to get on the same page, I think a lot of things would be different. You know, when we talk about the elephant in the room, we talk about this big thing that nobody talks about. Well, there's another thing that happens with the elephant in the room. We ride the elephant. We let the elephant stomp all over us. We let the elephant be everything in the relationship. And the only way to fix that is to get into another room. Let the elephant stay in that room, and you go in this room and start over. And I think we can help you with that, Claudia. And hold on. I want to tell you about our intimacy and marriage intensive, or the person will there. And then also, maybe we can find a counselor for you guys. Because if you stop making the money the problem and just made the relationship the big issue, and you both sought help for that, maybe, just possibly, he would soften up. We know that when we criticize, that it doesn't change anything. It causes the person to justify whatever they're being criticized over, dig in their heels, and makes it less likely for them to change. So let's go to Lisa. Yep. Go ahead, Jill.
I was just going to say 10 years is way too long, Claudia, and so it's time to really lean in towards your husband in a soft way, like Steve's saying.
Right. Lisa, Atlanta, Georgia, listening online. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you all doing?
I'm doing all right. You sound like you live in Georgia, actually, and were raised there and lived there and all. So how can we help today, Lisa?
Yes. Well, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate you all's program, and I've gotten some good advice from earlier shows.
Thank you.
But today I'm calling about dating. I'm 58, and I guess I'm having trouble even dating or even finding a date. I've been divorced for about 12 years, and I've not had a date during that time from being until now.
Yeah, okay.
And so I do have my son. And so a lot of times my weekends could be, you know, before COVID, you know, taking him to baseball, you know, working. So I guess I was kind of just wrapped up into that.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, I'm kind of like, oh, I wish I would have, wish I could go to some movies with someone or travel mm-hmm. with someone. So a lot of my friends that are, you know, that are in relationships, some of them are either living with their boyfriend or they are in a relationship and the boyfriend is, you know, verbally abusive, saying things that's not good. And they yeah. stay because they're like, I guess it would be better to stay than to get back out here and start all over. And I don't want to be in that situation.
Yeah,
so
good for you.
I'm like, like, I guess I would like a companionship or, you know, starting off a friend, but eventually maybe remarry again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But am I too picky? Are my standards messed up? And I guess mm-hmm. the question is, what am I doing wrong? Or can you give me some tips on how to go about this?
Well, first of all, Brandon, what are you doing wrong? What are you doing? What are you doing to increase the chances that somebody might say, hey, why don't we go have a cup of coffee together? What are you doing?
I don't think I'm doing anything. But
all right, then. So,
you know.
Well, maybe you're not doing anything wrong. You're just not doing anything. And we can give you some ideas of what to do. By the way, how many close girlfriends do you have? Just curious.
Probably about 8.
Oh, that's a good number. All right. 8's a great number. Okay. So we'll help you as soon as we get back, and we should be able to have you married within about 2 years. So you just hang on and see what we can do. You're listening to New Life Live. You need some help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the phone number. Come to one of our workshops for singles, and you'll meet other people. We don't have any workshops for singles, do we? We just have workshops for people. Anyway, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find out about all that. We'll take a break and come right back for more New Life Live.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Lisa, 58 years young and ready to date after 12 years. Lisa, do you like farming? Because I see this farming. Because I see farmersonly.com or that dating site there, and I think, well, if you like farming, maybe if you like that, that would be it. But seriously,
is that our best?
I think it would be great if, number one, you enlisted those 8 friends to tell you, you know, I'd really like to meet somebody. And because when you get the word out, that absolutely helps. But if you're like a lot of people in this day and age, you have to go through the hassle, the trouble, the difficulty with one of these mm-hmm. dating sites. And eHarmony is one, and Christian Mingle and Don't Touch Me. There are just different ones that you can go
on
to. Yeah, Our Time. It's that. So
Silver Sneakers.
Yeah. But that's sneaky. They're a little sneaky there. So be careful on that one. But you have to do some of these things. And I'll I'll actually send you this little book I wrote, Is This the One?, which gives you some strategies on that. But if you don't do anything, you're pretty much going to get the kind of result that you're getting. And one of the things that we encourage people to do is to talk, actually talk to men like you. You actually talk to people you meet in Starbucks or places like that, that you get a hobby or you learn one. Mm-hmm. You go to, can't now during COVID, but or you'll die, but go to dancing classes and just doing things where people aren't just necessarily looking to get a date, but you meet people with similar interests. Those are ways that you can do better than worse in this. You have to have a strategy, and it has to have a lot of different elements in it. What are you guys, the women down there, thinking might be a good thing for her?
Well, Lisa, I identify with your struggle. And, you know, on one note, we are not in the best demographic at this stage of life, right, in terms of the spectrum of people that we can find. It's much better for men, right, at this stage of life. But it only takes one, right? And it's not impossible. And I have seen women, you know, much older than you, find people. And so you do have to get out there. And as Steve's talking about getting involved in things, you have to change your travel paths. And I know that's something that Henry promotes as well. So if everywhere you go, you're with women, then you need to go someplace where there's actually men. And then I think, too, asking those eight friends how they see you in terms of interacting with men.
Yeah.
I know my friends have said, Jill, you have to actually notice. You have to, like, look up and not be in your own world and, you know, and notice. And so that's important feedback. And then, you know, you live your life and you do things that you love. And you get involved in things, and you feel good about yourself and are friendly. And, you know, that's part of putting yourself out there, because you also have to have an openness. There's like the times when I have dated more versus less is when I have been open. I've had room in my life to have someone come in. There have been times where I'm so involved with my kids, I had no room in my life. And so you have to be praying and asking the Lord to, you know, put you in a frame of mind where you're actually open, you're not afraid, you're dealing with your issues, so that you have room to include someone emotionally.
And honestly, Lisa, I would also commend you for the fact that you're not just settling.
Not desperate.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. I mean, I just want to say, as your sister, I'm proud of you.
No, I was going to say, it seems like the people who are settling are happier.
No, they're not.
They have someone.
Yeah. But this thing about, I'd rather be attached to something sick than nothing at all, doesn't work well at all. You know, one of the best advices I've run into is, look at the yearbook picture that you have there from high school. If your hairstyle is the same, you might want to change that. So that, you know, it's not all about physical, but you do want to be attractive. So if you've still got that old thing up there on top of your head, you might want to just look at a new, and you know, if you're buying all your clothes at Dress Barn, I just never thought barn and dress was a, you know, so you want to look your best out there. And here's another little thing. If you ever talk to a man, do you know what happens if casually you touched that man on the arm as you were talking to him? It changes everything in a man. A little tap on the shoulder or a touch, it says to him, I am not uncomfortable around you. I am open. I'm at ease with men. And I've said, I remember this one gal I said that to, and she started to sweat. She could not imagine, ever just touching a guy in conversation. I'm telling you, it's a message. So you have to put yourself out there, increase your numbers. I'll send you this little book. I think it'll help you. And again, like Sheila was saying, we applaud you for not being desperate.
And can I just add one thing?
Yeah, please.
Dress Barn may work for farmersonly.com. Yes.
That's true. That is so true. Anyway, actually, I think Dress Barn has some beautiful dresses. I just never understood that name, barn thing. Okay, 1-800. New Life is the number to call if you need some help. We would love to help you. Let's go over here, and how about we talk with, Robin. Let's talk to Robin from Pensacola, Florida, listening on WEGS. Hi, Robin. How are you today?
Hold on.
See, that happens all the time. People talk to them. They go, oh, boy, this is, this is not going to go well. Robin, are you still there? Are you? Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How could we help you today?
Well, I talked to a family member last night who is heavily involved in an online virtual community called Second Life.
Okay. And is, has Second Life become his first life?
Romantically, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, are you related? Are you related by marriage to this family member, or just a distant relative? Okay. All right. Yeah. So, what's the question for us then?
Well, how that might I best express that they really don't know the other person that they are, quote, married to, and are expecting a baby with, that this is not real life and they really need to not go see this person living in the country with guns and unstable on medication? Any ideas?
So is this your son? I mean, we need to know the relationship.
No. My sister.
It's your sister. Okay. Wow, that's really sad that that's her best life, is what she's doing there. Very dangerous, risky, and really, I think, sad. But a result of our society and the disconnection and what extremes people go to online. So what have you said to her about this?
That he has no idea what the person is really like on the other end.
Right.
Even though she has Skyped with him for a couple of years, and they've talked on the phone, and they have all these virtual friends in their community, and all of this, that it can all be a lie. She has absolutely no way of verifying it.
Yeah.
And
Does this person want to move to America?
No, they're in America already.
Okay, all right.
Wait, is this a game? Is that what this is? Like it's a virtual?
No. Well, no. Yes.
Okay, they're not really married. They don't really have a child.
Somebody. Yeah.
Okay.
So
no, they can't really. They have to either announce it or pay for it. There's money involved sometimes on these things.
Well, I was going to ask you about the money thing. Has this person asked for any money from your sister?
No.
Okay.
The money usually, I found out apparently the money on the game is game money.
Yeah.
Directly, but there can be real money backing it up. It's just, you're really fishy, but. No, it's mainly it's the emotional thing that I'm worried about, not the money thing. She doesn't have a lot of money, so that's not a big issue, I don't think.
Right, okay. All right, so, and she doesn't want to hear you talk about the dangers of this and being detached from reality and all? Okay, well, we'll talk to you when you come back. We come back. You're listening to New Life Live, and we do every month. Every man's battle is there. In October, we have Intimacy in Marriage Intensive. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter why you come or how you get involved. Miracles happen during that intensive. I mean, it is one transforming experience for marriages. You can find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn, you're talking with Robin, and I'll throw this over to both Sheila and Jill. I wish there was Fantasy World Anonymous that you could go to a meeting with her. But
well, Love and Sex Addicts Anonymous, because it is kind of like a romance novel on steroids,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Why are we...
I don't know.
Why do we sound like we went down the hall? I don't know. But anyway, it is truly what you're saying, Jill. It is kind of like a romance addiction or a fantasy addiction.
Or being in your own soap opera.
Yeah. It's not a healthy place.
Right.
I actually Googled it to see what Second Life is, and it's a whole virtual world. It says, come and live in complete freedom in a virtual world. Find your perfect partner. Have as many children as you want. I mean, it's...
A whole new world.
Well,
but it's not good. It's not Disney here, I'll tell you that.
And there are several lawsuits out at the moment because of potential money laundering and potential molestation of children. So it's a very dangerous place.
So Robin, maybe it's to sit down with your sister and tell her you are so concerned about this that you talk to some professional folks about it, and there are some things that you want her to be aware of, and that the big thing is that you see her more engaged in an unreal world than in the real world, and you want your sister back. Might be a way to start to talk.
But I would also take a tack where you start inviting her into the real world.
There you are.
I think if you just come first and foremost and attack this world, she's going to resent that and push you away. So start inviting her to things. Start engaging her and trying to draw her out of the house. And I know it's challenging now, but there's ways to do it.
Yeah. Hope that helps. Let me send you Take Your Life Back. That'd be a great little book to have her read, I think, to help her get back into reality a little bit. Let's go to Leslie, Los Angeles, listening on the great station KKLA. Hi, Leslie. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have three statements my husband made that I wanted to speak first, but a little background is I've been a stay-at-home mom with two boys where the husband works. The first statement is, one time I called my husband to say our older 13-year-old son, John, was playing rough again with our younger son, David, 3 years old. My husband's response was, if John doesn't stop hurting our son, we're going to have to get rid of him. My reaction was to pull the phone away to look at it, shocked, like, wow, he said that. My instinct was to stay quiet and not talk about it. So the second statement is, my husband said to my 19-year-old son, John, in front of me, I can treat your mother any way I want to. And when you get your woman, you can treat her any way you want to also. That shocked me.
Are you married to this guy?
I'm currently divorced.
Okay.
So let me just give you the third statement, just real quick.
The third thing
he said was in response to a question I had recently in January. I asked him, so is it okay if you lie to me? And his response, he said, no, it's not. I mean, it's not. The point is, what do you care about that? What do you care if I lie to you or not? What does that matter? But suppose I am lying. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. You going to call the lying police? No. There's nothing you could do. I can lie to you from here to eternity, and there would be nothing you could do about it.
Okay.
Why would you even want to worry about that? My reaction was shock.
Yeah, okay.
How he's admitted to lying.
Right. So what's the question for us, Leslie? What do you want?
The question is, how do you handle someone who does this? Because I always get blindsided, and I can't see the awful things coming.
Yeah. Well, I would say after all of this time, it would not be, I don't think you ever need to be blindsided again. I think given these things that you should expect more of these coming toward you and the kids. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So he kind of has no moral compass here. Might be why you got divorced. Why did you guys get a divorce?
He was drinking,
uh-huh.
But it's the verbal abuse. I didn't realize
Yeah.
It was verbal abuse until I went to domestic violence counseling for 18 months after the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I slowly realized that I'd been verbally abused.
Okay. So what do you think, Jill and Sheila, would be good for her? I mean, they're co-parents here, and this guy is pretty unreliable with reality and being a healthy male.
I would absolutely limit how much of that I would take.
Yeah.
I think there's ways that you can, if he's predictable like that, and when you begin something, I think I would say, you know what, I'll be happy to talk to you, but not at the moment while you're in this place.
Right.
You don't have to allow yourself to be covered in darts for the rest of your life. Plus, it's teaching him nothing. It's teaching him that there's no consequences at all to his behavior. And I think that's not good for you or for him.
Yeah, I agree. Jill?
Go ahead. Did you want to say something?
The part that's difficult is he lies to disadvantage me financially and damage my reputation in the courts during our divorce.
Well, that's a legal issue. You have to have a great attorney. And if you can't afford then you have to find a person, and you become their charity work or their cause. You know, most people will do something pro bono, and so you have to start doing some research there, because if he's doing that legally, then you're just going to be a victim until you talk to enough people, until you find somebody that'll take you on as their personal cause. Jill, you have a thought about this?
Yeah, I think, Leslie, you know, you have to use the history you've had with him to really know who he is, right? And look at the dance that you guys have played. You know, it doesn't matter if you're divorced or married. The dance continues. And, you know, he knows how to push your buttons. And so you have to start to change the dance. So when he fires something off, how do you typically respond? And look at that pattern. And then start to consciously respond differently to him. Right? So he throws out a zinger to you, and you say, you know, are you feeling okay today? Or is there something wrong that's upset you that would cause you to want to hurt me? You change it up instead of being shocked and dismayed and feeling like you've been run over. And then, you know what? You do have to get the help you need to be wise, because if you don't, you will spend the rest of your life like this. And when you start to stand up to someone like this, he will up the ante, and he will be even more cruel to you. And so you have to be prepared for that. And so it's really important that, along with your legal team, you have support, friends around you, friends, husbands around you, people that can really be there to hold you.
Yeah. You know, there's this drama triangle where, you know, maybe you rescued this guy. He was probably this way when you married him to some degree. And then, you know, you become the victim, and then you're the persecutor. You have nothing good to say about this person. And the only way to stop that drama is to pull out of it. And like you're saying, Joe, you can't be shocked every time something like this happens. You have to be prepared to come back with a rational response and ask about this so that you're able to pull yourself out of it. Well, we're out of time based on that music. Sheila, great to have you on radio. We need to do this more often. Jill, always great to be with you. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Don't be stubbornly resistant to what God wants you to become and to do today. Have a great day. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.